Hey, welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. What episode is this? 21, 22, 23? Hell, I don't know. In the middle of a crisis in this country. I don't even know what day it is. This is Cyrus Alderwood. Let's listen to Blues Hammer for a minute. That guy sees a voodoo woman. Man, I see them everywhere. And I'm not even in Louisiana. How about that? Hey, thanks again for tuning in to the Gonzo Chronicles. This is again Cyrus Alderwood. And I thought about having a guest tonight, but kind of last minute I decided, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. But we do have some folks coming on next week. I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to have a couple of guests next week. Then I've got a book signing coming up next weekend. I'll be out of town the week after that, but I don't care. I'll take my recorder and we'll record somewhere, by God. And hopefully by then, I have a better microphone. Because don't think it's not lost on me that this freaking microphone I use sucks. It really does. But that's okay. It's just one built into the computer. I didn't go through any like real heavy expense to do the podcast, other than the monthly fee. But I wanted to actually, it's kind of a personal show. I had to actually work up to having the courage to talk about what I'm going to talk about here tonight. And no, I'm not getting political and pissing half the country off or half my listeners, all two of you. No, actually, we had quite a bit of a crowd listening these days. So that's great, man. I appreciate everybody that tunes in. And if you like the show, share it with some others. If you like it, don't forget to leave a ranking and a comment on iTunes. That means a whole hell of a lot to me. So the more people listening, the better, for whatever the hell that's worth, right? I guess everybody has a voice and opinion these days. And guaranteed that half the people will like it and half the people won't. But I got a serious topic I actually want to talk about tonight. I've spent the last few days, well, more than that, on social media and, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And God, man, there's so many people out there that are just like playing along with just playing around with depression. And, you know, people have been self-quarantined and locked down. Businesses haven't been open. Small business owners, probably a huge chunk of them in our country, let's just admit it, they're going to have to go under, even with the help the government give them to get through this time. There's a lot of small businesses that just aren't going to last. And that's freaking horrible. That impacts you directly in your community. That's one less place to go to and one less, you know, link in the chain of your local economy. And a lot of people are depressed and just feeling hopeless. You turn on the news and it's one negative thing after another. It's almost like the news media is trying to bombard everybody and just destroy their soul. I was actually talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and I mentioned to her, it's like, you know, I mean, just turning on the news and seeing everything that's going on in this world, protests, riots, people getting hurt, people out of work. It's soul crushing, man. My soul is literally exhausted. And I had to turn off the news for a couple of days. But if you're still on social media, you still get a sense of that despair that people are feeling, the anger and rage. Justified or not, it's there. And it has to be dealt with. And I know, you know, I don't want to use this moment to, like, you know, kind of benefit something I'd worked on. But, you know, I'm going to talk about a book I wrote, but it's not necessarily the book per se. as much as why I wrote it. And like I said, this is why it was hard for me to hit record tonight, because this is so freaking personal that it's almost, in a way, sort of embarrassing to share, but it's kind of hard to go back and think about where I was versus where I am now. A few years ago, I wrote this book. It's a comedy. It's called Pot of Gold. And the book had some really interesting themes. It's a funny book. It's a really good book. But a lot of people have no idea the story behind what made me actually write comedy. Because up until then, I was strictly just kind of like a horror guy. I wrote short stories in the horror genre, full-length novels, and several books out. And then I pulled some of them off the shelf, and I'm reissuing them now with new edits. Because, you know, anybody that's ever written anything, if you spend a lot of time writing, and I started back in the year 2000, you sort of grow over the years as a writer. You kind of learn your craft going into it. So it probably took me 10, 12 years to actually learn how to write, as sad as that sounds, right? But that's the truth. I was never trained. I didn't study in college or anything like that. I just, one day I thought, hey, you know what? Everybody wants to write a book one time before they die, right? So the hell am I waiting on? I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. And then the year 2000, I started writing a book when I got some inspiration of what to write about. It was a horror genre book, and I wrote it. It's called Grave Legends. That's not the one I'm going to talk about, though. But that one book turned into four. It was a series, and then I just kept going after that. But over years, I've learned how to write better. And as a self-published author, I don't sell enough to have to bother going out and like hiring somebody that's expensive to do editing and, you know, content editing and the different types of editing that people would do. So, you know, I set out on this book, Pot of Gold, to write a comedy. And this was a few years ago. At the time that I'd never written a comedy. I'd never even thought about writing a comedy. But at the time I was going through this horrible, horrible depression. And I have mentioned in passing that before. But I wanted to get a little bit more detailed on this, because so many people right now are feeling a lot of despair and anger and just, and then rage, just a string of emotions that you don't know how to control sometimes. And it's hard to control. And you have to wonder if it's even worth it to try to control. I'm not so closed-minded that I wouldn't consider any range of possibilities when you're dealing with things like that. And like, suicide rates are up, I've noticed. And, you know, we always hear about the suicide rate among soldiers coming back from war and you know, how high it is. But I wanted to talk a little bit about why I started writing this book. I was in the middle of just this horrible depression, and a lot of things led up to it. And I just want to touch on to them a couple of things. Family issues, which I hid a lot of it from the family, how depressed I was. And I'm sure probably a couple of them are going to listen to this episode and wonder, like, hey, what the hell are you talking about? You know, we were there. Yeah, I know. And probably some friends will listen to this and they'll be like, hey, I was there. But yeah, I know. But it's humiliating when you feel like the weakest link in the chain and you never want to share it with anybody. I just come off of a, you know, kind of like a personal high. I'd felt like the whole world was in front of me. I'd left a job, a very secure job I had in Cincinnati, and I'd moved back to Virginia to start on my own company. And I was a really great business partner. It helps out. He's, you know, really, really great at what he does. And yeah, I was excited because we were actually going to be setting our own proprietary product. I work in the investment business I had at that time. And we were setting up our own advisor company. And, you know, we went through the motions. And, you know, my business partner put tons of money into it himself and all this effort. And went through all these motions. And I was going to be managing a fund. And I was so excited. We had so many people come on board like, hey, you know, we're going to make this successful, this and the other. And long story short, a lot of people didn't come through with the promises that they had kept, that they had made. And going from something that you thought damn sure was going to be really successful, and you're starting your life like in a different level, stepping up and, you know, making, you know, pretty good money. I mean, really good money. and setting up for like security for the long term to, wait a minute, nobody did a damn thing. I am flat broke. I have nothing left. And the company goes under. Now, I'm sure I never had this discussion with anybody else, not even my business partner, who's still a great friend of mine and still a business partner. But I never really talked about just how worthless I felt. I felt like the biggest failure because, you know, like a lot of people, a lot of you out there, you always kind of look at your life and realize, hey, the buck stops here. If I'm not happy, whose fault is it but my own? And you put a lot of things on your shoulder that I think our culture, especially our pop culture, our media, and the self-help industry, you know, and it is an industry, tries to put on people unrealistic expectations based on their own abilities. And I had a lot of those. And the fact that this didn't succeed, I felt like, hey, this is all my fault. I'm a failure. I've ruined my life up to this point. I look like the biggest dumbass in the family. I feel like the biggest dumbass in the family. How am I even going to look at my siblings and feel like I'm even worth anything? That's where I was. I mean, how do you even look at your parents and say, hey, you know, I gave it a shot. You know, you can try to think that way, and which you did, which is true. That's the honest way to look at it. Hey, I gave it a shot. Let's regroup and find the next path. But that's not the way people hold on to those things. Like, yeah, you effed it up once. What are you going to F up next time? You know, and you know people are like that, especially your closest friends and your family. They could say something that's not even – they say things like that in love because they want you to do well. But when you're depressed, that feels like a knife in the back. And I realized I couldn't take that from any of them. So you kind of act as if things are okay. Act as if you're in a better place mentally or emotionally. And I wasn't. And it seemed like at the time, like everything I wanted, you know, even at times when I was trying to be faithful and pray, everything I asked for, like I got the opposite. And I felt like the universe was just pistol whipping the shit out of me day after day after day. And, you know, dealing with other issues, including like issues with my father that were very hard to deal with. And there's a lot of things that went on between me and my dad. I didn't tell family, and I still have it to this day and still won't. But there were so many things that were just beating me down every single day. Something, one reason or another, I felt more worthless the next day than I did the day before. And that's never a good place to be in. And probably, I wonder how many people right now that have lost their job because they've been called unessential feel the same damn way. I hate that word, unessential. When I first heard people talking about unessential employees are staying home, well, unessential to who? You know, their family, their kids, maybe a parent they're trying to take care of, or themselves trying to keep food on the table. Who the hell is unessential in this world? No one. And that phrase should never be tossed on anybody. And yeah, it's just, it was anyway, heartbreaking for me to see all this going on. And I was just, you know, I started thinking about, there has to be so much despair out there. And I see it on social media every day. All of us do. It's just a matter of whether we want to pay attention to it or not. And it's a terrible thing. I was so low at one point that literally the last time I actually bothered to pray, I actually asked God that I didn't wake up in the next day. I didn't want to wake up the next day. I wanted to die in my sleep. And I didn't get that either. That was how depressed I was. And then you question like any issue with faith you want to grab onto. So I reached out to a friend of mine, and I'll not name her name, but she didn't bother getting back with me. She's very much into church. And then I reached out to an uncle who's a pastor. Even went down to his house and knocked on his door and didn't get an answer. And I knew he was there. I could hear him inside. And left messages, never called. And then a friend of mine I grew up with who was a pastor. I know he's had a lot of issues of his own going on. This was a few years ago, obviously, not during this time. But I knew he had health issues and things like that. But I dropped him a couple of emails like, hey, here's my number. I'd kind of like to talk. And never heard from anybody. And I thought, you know what, maybe that's just like fate's way of telling me to piss off, take care of myself. And that pushed me even deeper. And it took a while to get out of that. And I realized something. You know, I was a friend of mine. I run a nonprofit, piss poorly, but I run it. And so one of the directors there, a friend of mine, James Hibbets, he was like, hey, won't you talk? He would call all the time. And this guy, man, he was going through so many things in life. He was a little older than me, and he even had worse luck with jobs. And a job he had for like 20 years, they laid him off. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's trying to sell used cars. I mean, I knew this guy felt beat down. But every time he called, he was excited about something. Because this guy was a rare piece in the world, man. He was a dreamer. And he wasn't afraid to wear it on his sleeve. And I wasn't like that at all. And, I mean, I dream big, and I think big, but to be that excited and pumped up the second you start talking to people, well, that's something totally different. And he was sincere about it, too. So he said, listen, why don't you come down to Wise County, which is where he lived at the time in Virginia, and we met at Roma's, which was an old hangout of mine from college. So I got down there, we ordered some pizza, we hang out. I was like, listen, man. You need to snap out of it. Why don't you write something funny? You've always got such a sense of humor. You're always making people laugh, which is kind of who I was. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, crazy-go-lucky kind of guy, goofing off all the time. Yeah, I had people laughing. I got a sense of humor, and more than most. But I always wrote horror. And I said, I don't know if I can write this. So we sat down and we started talking about characters. And I got a post on Facebook a little while ago from a friend of mine who said, you know, I said I was going to maybe do a podcast about this book, Pot of Gold. And she's like, man, I love those characters. So I wanted to talk a little bit about where those characters came from. Now, James Hibbets, I gave the first run of the book I did, I gave James credit on the cover. I wrote the book. But he sat down and was like, listen, let's come up with some characters. He said, why don't we parody this book after the shit that you and I are going through? I mean, he didn't use that language, but he said, why don't we just kind of make a parody of ourselves? I'm like, you know what? That's probably true. And, you know, if you can laugh at yourself, that's better than making fun of other people. Not much better, but yeah, some better. So anyway, I decided I'm going to write this book. And that day we started taking notes at the table there about these characters I was going to use in this book. And I said, James, I'm going to keep you up to date on this book. And I would email him sections as I would get done, chapters as I would get done. And he would just laugh. Like, that's great, man. When's the next one coming? And it kind of kept me writing. Because he kind of wanted to read the next chapter, and I didn't want to disappoint somebody who was actually reading my work. So I decided, you know, I'm going to keep this book up. And I finally finished it. And I self-published it, and I did my own cover. And that cover was the ugliest piece of shit I've ever seen. Like, it was good for me because I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm not very good with visual things. I'm terrible with them, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm terrible at them. So, anyway, I published this book. And put James' name on it, and some of his friends bought it too, and they really liked it. And they got a handful of, you know, rankings and comments on Amazon, which is cool. But then it just died off. And writing that comedy book was what helped me work through depression as part of it, not the whole thing. But as I was getting through this book and looking around at the world around me that I'd made for myself, I never blame anybody else for anything. I'm not going to. As though you're starting now. And it's no one else's fault but me, right? I control my own destiny, just like you control yours. So I decided, you know, I'm gonna publish the book, self-publish it through Amazon, and go from there. And then I thought, you know, when I was done with it, I realized I wasn't done with writing anything comedic. And, I went on to the next one, and then the next one, and now I've got the Gonzo series going, which is funny and half serious, but... You know, I looking around at the world today, it kind of made me think about what I was going through during that time. And people that are going through depression, if you have a friend that's going through depression, you need to understand something. There is nothing you can say to that person that is going to make a difference, that's going to get them out of their funk. It's not. I learned going through a depression that there's no one that was going to get me out of that except for me. I had to do it myself. And that's true of anybody going through a depression, I think. It was deep. Like when you wake up every morning and you're mad at God, you're literally in a rage for the first 2 or 3 minutes because, damn it, I woke up. Why am I alive? I have no sense of purpose, and I have no real meaning to my life. Now, that's hard to determine. I mean, that's really hard to deal with. And going through that period, I mean, there's a couple of friends I should probably apologize to, but, you know, I don't want to dig up old wounds. And, you know, one is such a dear friend of mine that, you know, something that very tragic had happened, and I'd forgotten about that with her. And I don't know why, but I was so forgetful through that period of time, I couldn't remember where my head was or my ass was if somebody asked me. I would forget my own birthday. That's how scatterbrained I was during this period. And I remember a friend of mine had said something, and I'd made mention, and I'd forgotten an event that happened in her life that was very tragic. And to this day, I feel horrible about it, you know, because that was a very important thing for her, right? So, I mean, and I knew that. And how do you apologize, you know, these years later? I mean, there's no point digging up that wound, but how do you make up for that? I don't know how, just maybe time. And kindness. I don't know. But I went, you know, I was going through this terrible, terrible period. And eventually I dug myself out of it because I realized, hey, this is not who I am. As bad as I didn't want to be alive, I was never a suicide kind of guy because I know people that do those things, I mean, they leave a lot of damage behind, a lot of scars. They think people are going to be better off without them, but they're not. You know, I couldn't think, like, you know, what would my sisters tell their kids? Like, why was goofy Uncle JC, you know, Uncle Cyrus here? Yeah, why was he so depressed, and why did he do something like that? I mean, I couldn't imagine the pain and guilt you'd leave on a parent or, you know. And, you know, over time, you know, things, I just, you know, you kind of have to approach life from a different way. So after my father died, which was a, you know, a pretty rough event because we had our ups and downs and we didn't see eye to eye very much. I mean, baseball was one of the things we always enjoyed together, but, and now we're not even going to have a baseball season, doesn't look like, these bastards. But anyway, so, you know, it was times like that that I realized, like, hey, I got to get a different focus. And fortunately, I had some leeway where, you know, I could chase kind of that dream, you know, even though I'm doing different, you know, kind of getting back into the investment advising now, but slowly but surely, the COVID-19 slowed it down, but I'm getting there in the next month or so. But, you know, when you look at everything going on in the world, you have the self-help industry that tells you, like, hey, if you think it, you can be it, and all this, and that's great. You got to have that mentality to want to succeed. Depends on what you want to succeed at. But because of pop culture and social media, everybody feels like there has to be a meaning and a purpose. I mean, they beat that in your head every day, whether it's media, pop culture, self-help industry, friends, family, meaning, purpose, you know, whatever, all this. And I realize that a lot of these things are selling a lie to people, because it would, if going back and looking at that time, all of that was a lie to me. And you know, you have all these people today virtue signaling and all this stuff, pandering to people. It's disgusting. But you have to realize something. And I realized something writing this book, Pot of Gold, because those themes that are underlying are very universal themes, very powerful themes. But reading between the lines, it's very dark at the same time. And people didn't know that because it was depression that got me to writing that book. I wrote that from that angle. And some of you going back, if you've read it before, you may want to go read it again. You might see it now. But people need to understand something. And this was kind of the lesson I started to learn when I was writing that book. You know, there's people try to put, people in culture and society, they try to put meaning and purpose on you. And if you don't fit up, you know, measure up to that meaning and purpose, well, that impacts your self-worth. And that sucks. That's wrong. Pop culture is bullshit, and that's all wrong. Stop thinking in terms of who your so-called heroes are and your so-called idols are, your favorite actors, actresses, musicians, entertainers that come on and tell you how to think and feel and vote and all that. No, bullshit. All of it's bullshit. Lies. I have no interest anymore after going through that. I have no interest in listening to people that live in a bubble telling me how I'm supposed to think and how I'm supposed to feel. or what I'm supposed to be guilty of or feel guilty about. You know, I have a brain, I can think for myself. I don't need anyone else doing it for me, let alone people in pop culture or media. The lesson I learned was that you define your own meaning. You define your own purpose. And if you haven't found it yet, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have it, people find their purpose and meaning at different times. Maybe they don't find that one big catch-all meaning and purpose, and they're content and happy in their own lives. Awesome. That makes you rich. That makes you smarter than any of these so-called multimillionaire actors or actresses living in their mansions right now, telling you how to live during a pandemic when they're well taken care of, but your mortgage or rent is due in 2 days, your kid is hungry, and your wife is upset, or, you know, in your family, if you're having those issues. This is the real world, not their world. So take that into consideration if you're feeling kind of down, depressed during this time, that, you know, you set those boundaries for yourself. And it's okay if you don't have any yet. Don't let anybody think you have to have them. Don't let anybody think you have to go out doing any kind of bullshit pandering or virtue signaling for anything that you may or may not agree with. Whatever. If you do, great. But just because everybody else is doing it, don't feel like you need to do it too. It's okay. Find out on your own terms. Find out when you're ready what kind of life and what kind of purpose and meaning that you're going to have and things you want to do. It's okay. So that was the purpose of going through that whole depression. I realized that. And Pot of Gold, one of the underlying themes of it is that place where you lose yourself and you find yourself. And I noticed that theme goes through a lot of some of my work. It did for a while. Because it's a powerful theme. And the only way you can look at that theme and see and read between the lines is if you've been there and done that. Now, the book is a rip-roaring comedy. I recently did some edits and rewriting to it because when I looked at it, went back and looked at it again, I'm like, I don't really write like that anymore. I've kind of grown as a writer, so I didn't want to change the whole book around, but I did some editing, cleaned it up, and thanks to Gary Kwapis, he did a kick-ass book cover for me again, and I can't thank that guy enough because the POS that I had as a cover before, anybody would look at that and walk right past the book. So the cover is supposed to be eye-catching. It's supposed to be a promise of what you're going to read in the book. And this book is an adventure. It's an experience. But Pot of Gold can also be a place where you lose yourself and find yourself, make you think about what's important to you in your life. Because it's very philosophical, even given the crazy circumstances and the weird stuff that I come up with in that book to keep you laughing. That's why that book means so much to me. And that's the one that sold the least amount of books out there. But if you get a chance and you want to check it out, it's called Pot of Gold, Cyrus Alderwood on Amazon. Amazon's a real dick, by the way. They don't, half the time when I sell a paperback copy, I don't hear about it. I never know it. Like a friend of mine bought a couple of my horror novels not long ago, emails me on Facebook to tell me about it. Amazon still hasn't reported my sales and still hasn't paid me for them. However, if you buy a Kindle copy, it pretty much shows up right away, so at least I know I get paid for those. I wonder how much Amazon's stealing from people. It's a good question. And I've rambled on enough. But if you have those feelings, of like, you know, you're in that dark place, you're going to have to find those answers for yourself, and you will if you look. I can honestly say to you on this podcast right now, that I was a half a step away from a nervous breakdown. I know I was. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, there were times I was like my hand would shake, and I didn't know why. Because I was that close to a nervous breakdown. And even like I said, even though I wasn't a suicide kind of guy, I sure as hell didn't want to be alive from one day to the next for quite a while. And that is embarrassing to admit. It's humiliating to admit. That's why this recording is so personal. That's why I had to have a couple little barley pops to kind of work up the courage here. But it was an important story. It was important to know that if you're listening to this and you're going through that crap, you're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are feeling these things during these times. And I'm glad I'm not in that place anymore, and I'm not going back. But it's certainly a hard place to dig out of. And really, you know, feel for your plight going forward. But, you know, tomorrow can always be a better day, and you're the one who has to make it that way. And sometimes you maybe you feel stuck, because God knows I was, financially, morally, emotionally. There was nothing I could do about it, sit there and just take the pain. It was brutal one day to the next. But, you know, the problem was I was inflicting most of it on myself. And when you're in that kind of state of mind, you don't realize that. You know, and you don't tell your friends. And I'm thankful the one friend that I probably owe an apology to, she's still friends with me. And to this day, it's, you know, things that you kind of wish you could go back and relive those times, do some things different. But would I? Because I wouldn't be who I am right now if I hadn't gone through all that crap. And for the first time, probably in the last, you know, 15 years, I like where I'm at. I mean, it's not everything I dream of financially or whatever, but I'll get there. I'd love to get there selling books, but, you know, I'm going to get to a place where, I feel comfortable anyway. And we all have, you know, we don't have the gift of tomorrow. None of us do. So think about that. Find somebody, a friend or a family member, somebody that's important to you today, and tell them that they're important. I've written about this to some degree before, and put it on Facebook on one of my pages, the fan page for Cyrus Alderwood, maybe. And I think I might have put it up on my website, cyrusalderwood.com. But, you know, it's out there, and now it's out there on podcast. But I appreciate if you've sat through this whole thing listening to this, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me spill my guts over shit that's in the past. But that's where all this came from. And thank goodness I had a friend that was a dreamer, man. James was a dreamer. And if it wasn't for him bugging the hell out of me to go down to Wise and talk about some characters for a book that he wanted me to write, and, you know, I wouldn't have, who knows when I would have started that process to get out of that, that dark, dark place. Because, man, that's nowhere to be. So anyway, if you're feeling that way, chin up. Tomorrow could be a better, brighter day, but you know what? You have to stop beating yourself up. And the hardest person to love in our own lives is ourselves. And I imagine that's probably true for, it's true for me. I'm sure it's probably true for a lot of people. But damn it, I care. So if anything you want to, spill or share, drop me an email, cyrus.alderwood@gmail.com. Any topics you want to hear me talk about on future podcasts, let me know. We're going to get back to the weird stuff next week. We're going to have some ghost hunters on here. Some people who have been to one of the most notorious places that I don't have the balls to go into, St. Albans. And we're going to talk about that and other weird, crazy things. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I appreciate it. And like I said, touch base if you need to. I will be glad to read your emails on the show. Go listen to our friends Blues Hammer, spelled with a Z. Guys are awesome. Thanks for letting me use the bumper music. And thank you for tuning in. And thanks to my favorite person in the world. I bet you're tuning in too. Good night, everybody. See you down the road.